Welcome to a brand new Masechta, Maseches Makis. It's indeed a schus and an honor to have you along this incredible journey, which has already been for a bunch of years, as we take some time each day to journey through Shas, through the Mishnayos, Masechta at a time. Our next Masechta that we'll be learning is Maseches Makis. Interestingly enough, many of the Mefarshim point out that really Maseches Makis is not a standalone Masechta. As a matter of fact, it's just a continuation of Maseches Sanhedrin. And the indicator to that is actually the first Mishnah in Maseches Makis and how the Gemara understands it. Because the Mishnah just randomly begins in the middle of a topic. The Gemara teaches us that actually this Mishnah is going on a Mishnah that's in Maseches Sanhedrin, at the end of Maseches Sanhedrin. At the end of Maseches Sanhedrin, it says the following Mishnah. Any person that testifies falsely gets the punishment that they tried to give the person that they testified about. Except for a person who falsely testifies about the daughter of a kohen and the fellow that she committed an adulterous relationship with, shein makdim lo isa misa, they don't get actually that type of death that the bas kohen, the daughter of kohen, would have got. Rather, misa acheres, rather a different type, a different form of capital punishment. Take a step back and explain. The Torah teaches us that if, let's say, two witnesses come into a Beis Din, they come into a Jewish court, and they testify about somebody that he owes someone else $100. And then they're zoimimized. Zoimimized, classic case of zoimimization, I'm sorry for using a new type of expression, it's not a real word, is the following. That a day later, 2 days later, another pair of witnesses comes in and says, how could Reuven and Shimon have just testified that this fellow owes someone $100 and that they saw the loan on the 22nd of the month of Sivan when the witnesses themselves were with us in Cancun? They couldn't have seen that. It was impossible. They weren't around. The halacha is that we believe the second pair, and the first pair becomes Edim Zim, they become false witnesses. And the punishment to them is Vasisem Loi Kasher Zamun Lases L'Achiv. The Torah teaches us we do to the first pair just like they tried to do to the person that they testified about. So they tried to make somebody have to pay $100, even though we didn't owe that $100. Therefore, they have to pay that fellow, the fellow that they testified about, $100. And even more severely, let's say two witnesses testify about somebody that he drove on Shabbos. And we know the punishment for driving on Shabbos is skila. It's capital punishment, stoning. The halacha is, and if they are zomimized, and two witnesses come in and say, how could you have seen that fellow be mechal Shabbos? How could you have seen him violate Shabbos? You were with us in Cancun. And the halacha is that the first pair of witnesses are put to death, just like they tried to do to the person that they testified about. Now, there are some exceptions where it's impossible for whatever the reason is to zomimize, to do to the false witnesses that which they tried to do to the person that they falsely accused. That is the beginning of Maseches Makis. Let's see the Mishnah inside. How do witnesses become falsified? Now, this doesn't mean to say how they become falsified. The Torah says in Mishnah Sanhedrin, what it means to say is, what do we do in a situation where we realize that the first pair of witnesses are Edom Zayim, they're false witnesses, but we cannot inflict, we can't punish them with the punishment that they tried to do to the person that they falsely accused. We'll see a few cases of that, says the Mishnah. For example, Me'idimanu b'ish plaini, if we testify about this particular kain, Shu ben grushoi ben chalutza, that he's a tainted kain, he's a chalal, he's a colored kain puzzle, an invalid kain. Why is that? Because his father married his mother after she was already divorced. And we know a kain is not allowed to marry a divorcee. And if he does, then the child of that marriage becomes a chal. He becomes a tainted kain. And he's disqualified from doing avodah, serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Or they say about this fellow that he's a ben chalutza, which means to say that his father, or his mother's previous husband died, left her with no children. And the halacha is that really she has to marry her husband's brother. But he doesn't want to marry her, so he does a ceremony called chalitza. We've talked about it many times, where a shoe is removed, where she spits in front of him. That's similar to being a grusha, to being a divorcee. Once that ceremony is done to her, she can no longer marry a kain. But she did, and she had a child, and therefore he's a tainted kain. So what do we do to the false witnesses? If they're not kaihanim, we certainly cannot disqualify them. But even if they're kaihanim, the Torah teaches us that we don't say that the kahanim that are testifying falsely about a kohen become false kahanim themselves. Why? Because the pasuk says, "Vasisem loy kashazom lasas lachiv." You do to him as he wanted to do. But here, you wouldn't just be disqualifying him; you'd also be disqualifying his children. What do you tell me? Just disqualify him and not his children. That's not kasher zomim. That's not what he tried to do. That's not what they tried to do to the person that they were falsely testifying about. So what do we do? Ella says the Mishnah. Rather, like our baim, the false witnesses, the edim zayman, they receive malchus, they get lashes, as we'll see much more about in this Masechta, the concept of malchus or lashes. Wish you a fantastic rest of your day and a wonderful rest of your week.